ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. At least one person has been killed in Southern California as powerful storms continue to pound the region. Heavy rain bringing life-threatening flooding, winds, and mudslides. ABC's Matt Gutman just outside Los Angeles.
On the Palos Verdes Peninsula near Los Angeles, many residents afraid of how their homes might be affected. In Santa Rosa, this resident recalling the moment a tree crashed into his apartment.
All of a sudden, it felt like an earthquake hit my house, but from above, saw that the tree had gone entirely through the wall of my house.
That branch impaling his roof and wall. Luckily, he was able to walk away uninjured.
Capital One wants to buy Discover in a deal worth about $35 billion, one that could affect as many as 400 million credit card holders. Arab nations are putting a vote to the UN Security Council today on a ceasefire in Gaza. The U.S. expected to veto it. The mother of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny continuing to appeal unsuccessfully for access to his body, Russian authorities refusing to tell her where it is. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Supporters of Wisconsin's new legislative boundaries say people can expect a more responsive state government. Governor Evers says tighter majorities will spur lawmakers to find middle ground on issues like Medicaid expansion.
I have to believe there is at least one Republican in the House or the Senate that agrees with us on that. And hope, you know, then maybe we could find a solution.
Evers signed the new maps into law yesterday. Today is spring primary day. Voters will narrow down races for local offices like school board, county board, and city council. There's a three-way primary for Milwaukee mayor. The polls are open until 8 tonight. We'll have election updates on many Civic Media stations. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Center for Alcohol and Drug Treatment is expanding its drug treatment options in Duluth. According to a Northern News Now report, a new initiative will bring an additional 50 high-intensity beds, psychiatrists, counselors, and skilled nurses to the community to offer proper care to patients who need a higher level of help. Officials with the organization hope the high-intensity services could start on March 4th, allowing them to accept more patients without having to send them hours away for specialized treatment. Superior school officials are raising concerns about the future of the school safety office. According to Superintendent Amy Starzecki, the program was funded by a COVID-era stimulus package that is set to run out this year. Despite about $500,000 of funding being reallocated to the program from the state legislature, it could be facing significant cuts. One of those cuts could include the 24/7 tip line that allows parents, students, and staff to report concerns. A number of bills have been proposed to add funding. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Brewers warming up in Arizona. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers getting ready for their first game in spring training when they face the Padres Saturday. The team re-signing pitcher Brandon Woodruff to a two-year deal as he recovers from surgery on his shoulder. NFL, the Packers hiring a new strength and conditioning coach. He is Aaron Hill, who's been the 49ers assistant coach the past four seasons. College basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers at home tonight against Maryland. Head coach Greg Gard met with reporters and was asked, what do you say to a team that's dropped out of the top 25? Five rankings after losing five of their last six games.
No, I think there's, you know, you look at, you know, we've had other teams go through it too. I don't look at, because we don't talk much when we've won five in a row or six in a row or seven of eight. And I don't worry about or talk about, oh, we've lost X number of how many, or we've won one in a row or two in a row. Let's get ready for Maryland and take it one day at a time and one game at a time.
That's the Badgers head coach, Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thank you. sunny and a little warmer today. We'll get to 46 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A little more fog possible overnight tonight. Our low 27 tomorrow. A little patchy fog in the morning, then mostly sunny 47 on Thursday. Sunshine with a high of 46. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 27.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From the heart of the St. Croix Valley,
we're in touch with you.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Hey, hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up? This is a
big
party, man.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Hey, good morning, G. Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
Well, man, you know, I'm so mixed up that I was saying spring is going to be in a couple days. Calvin said spring.
It might be this afternoon.
I mean that it was going to be officially.
Oh, no, yeah. That...
I lost track.
You're in a time warp.
Yeah. So spring is in what, April?
No, March.
Oh, it's in March.
Yeah, 3 months. The year's divided into quarters. December 21, March 21, June. There you go.
Yeah, so where would I be without Sandy, man?
Where would any of us be?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, although as you stated, Sandy, it is certainly going to feel like spring the next couple of days. 50s.
Yeah.
And you know, by the way, that's my co-host Sandy Williams, if you're just joining us. And before we get into all of that, I want to say thank you to the Milwaukee Democratic Party who invited me last night to a gathering and gave me an opportunity to say a few words. Thank you, all of you from the Milwaukee Democratic Party, and Sandy, many of them who listen to our show.
Well, there you go. I hope it's for onward and upward.
Oh, absolutely. So I was really happy to see the Milwaukee Democratic Party, and thanks for inviting a carpetbagger like me and to have a couple words. But I tell you, Sandy, the reason I said spring is going to feel like 50, there's no ice and snow on the ground. Normally, this early in the year, if you got 50 degrees, there's ice and snow, which would keep the temperature down, right?
Yeah. Normally, this is like slop time, right? Gets warm, and it's suddenly you got gray, dirty slush all over. We're lucky. You know,
yeah.
The snow we had, which was, you know, pretty extensive, but it melted gradually. It's winter's been kind to us this year.
Yeah, it really has. And like I said, 50 degrees. You know, there'll be people out in short pants, Andy.
Well, there are people out in short pants.
And T-shirts.
Yeah.
And bikinis.
I think you're not going to see that. I think only it's the guys that put on shorts and try to prove that they are immune to the cold.
Oh. You're not one of them.
I am not one of them.
Well, maybe Calvin. Calvin?
I am not. Oh, but okay. I will say, when I was a young high school kid, I was.
Right. And what was the point, Calvin? Was it like macho, you know?
Like, I don't even think it was macho. I think it was more I just got warm during school, so I figured I didn't have to be outside for very long, so I would suck it up when I was outside.
Uh-huh, okay.
Well, you said when you were a younger man. I take it you've...
Yeah, no, I'm much wiser with my clothing choices now.
Well, Sandy, we've got a lot to talk about this morning. But I want to begin the what is it called? The session in Madison.
Oh, the legislative
session. Legislative session is only 105 days. It's only 3 months and they're done for the year.
Yeah, these guys are not. They don't kill themselves. And in fact, remember there was the year that where they didn't
did
go
nothing,
into
the entire year.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I've heard legislators say, "We don't make enough." Hey, Sandy. 3 months out of a year is basically, and I guess you can do what you want with the rest of that time, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you're not in Madison, you can be. Most of them do things to work for their constituents to some extent, but yes, many of them have other jobs. Sure.
105 days. Maybe I should have been a state legislator. Maybe that's why they hang in there.
Yeah.
And then they got great benefits, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure they have the same as public employee benefits. So yeah, they've got good benefits.
Yeah. So, man, to think that I got a couple more days and the rest of the year is mine. Oh, that's not a bad gig, man, if you can get it.
Well, if it was such a great gig, there'd be more and better people running for election. So.
Well, maybe the people don't know that they're only, you know, doing 3 months.
Well, it is deemed to be a full-time job. I remember when the legislature went from denominating itself as part-time to full-time. So they believe they're a full-time job, and I'm not sure how many of them are employed by third parties. Many of them do things, are self-employed, and handle or pursue
so
monetary gain in some fashion.
So the people's business can be completed in 105 days.
Well, when you don't do much, I mean, you know, if you counted the people's business by how much gets accomplished, Congress really fails, and I'm not sure how many bills pass the Wisconsin legislature in these days.
Yeah, well, not many, man. And I was just kind of taken aback when I saw that. And I thought I was hearing or reading wrong. I knew I'd bounce it off you and you would know.
No, that's how it's, you know, they have special sessions. They have other things. They have committee meetings that meet out of session. But, yeah, it's... The sessions, as denominated, don't comprise a very big part of the year.
And then they've got staff.
Yep.
Hey, I don't know, Sandy. Something.
Well, and staff is full time. The staff jobs are full time jobs.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I digress. Sandy, I was reading an article and I think I already know your thoughts on this, but it was about an opinion piece. It was in, I think, the Washington Post, and it asked the question, why don't we just pay educators $100,000 a year, and maybe we can get some changes in things? That one of the reasons why we're having the kind of troubles we're having again is because educators aren't paid well enough. Your thoughts?
Well, absolutely true. I mean, if we were going to really pay our public employees according to the value we place on what they do, our teachers would be at the highest level. Whether they're teaching our children, they're developing our future, and they work very hard. I have a son who's a middle school teacher. And it's very hard work. There's lots that is done during the school day. There's preparation for the next school day. There's test grading. There's all kinds of protocols that have been set up by the state as requirements teachers work very hard. And, you know, it used to be that they'd point at the fact, well, these teachers have 3 months off. They're only working three quarters of the year. Well, what are they going to do in that other quarter? I mean, you can't have a full-time job that only lasts 3 months. So, I mean, when you're committed to more than full-time for 9 months of the year, you're committed for the year.
Well,
and the fact is that compensation for teachers doesn't permit many of the teachers to live in the environments in which they teach.
As a Spanish teacher at Gerald G. Hutchkin Middle School in Lancaster, he arrived in his classroom at 7:10 a.m. each day, and left no time for a bathroom break. He'd teach back-to-back-to-back classes until lunch period, 27 minutes during which he also had to heat and eat the food he'd brought from home, email parents about problems and absences, and field questions from students. After school, he coached wrestling, advised the student council, and chaired the GHMS World Language Department, worked from grading papers to preparing lessons spill into the evenings and weekends. He wanted to spend time with his wife and three kids. For his efforts, with a Bucknell University diploma and a master's degree in education, earned less than any college graduate he knew. So last year, after a decade and a half in the classroom, he quit teaching to take a job as a sales representative at a large packing company, trading the life of conjugated verbs for a new life of corrugated cardboard. Sandy, just basically the guy is almost doubling what he was making as a teacher.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, teachers are asked to do a great deal of work. They're denigrated publicly in the current environment. There's quite an attack on educators and education. And what they do is terribly important, and they ought to get paid adequately. You know, they actually get paid less than the median income. The average teacher's salary in Wisconsin is lower than the median income in Wisconsin. So it requires that both spouses work, and it's a very difficult job, and it requires a great deal of education. So, you know,
Continuing education.
Yeah, and education to get into the job itself.
Right.
You know, this requires a college education. Most of the teachers, after they've taught for a while, have a master's.
Right.
Well,
they don't make any money until they get that master's, for the most part.
Well, but it's even catchier than that, because it's hard to get a job if you have a master's, because they'll have
they
to pay you too much. So, you know, most teachers defer getting the master's until after they have a job teaching. Then they get a master's. Then they can get the bump for having the degree.
844-967-2789. It is Tuesday mornings. As always, it is good to have my good friend and co-host Sandy Williams in the studio. You can join us. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
And pick it out. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Right, right on. Right on.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Asante came to TurboTax after graduating from culinary school and landing a job in the hottest kitchen in town.
My hands are full all day, every day. I love it.
Asante, as your TurboTax expert, I'll make your moves count, guaranteeing 100% accurate filing and your maximum refund. Sound good?
Yes, expert!
Switch to Intuit TurboTax and make your moves count. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Experts only available with TurboTax Live.
You wouldn't let a little cold weather or snow interrupt your outdoor cooking experience. No, of course not. You're the master of the pit. No wind or snow or ice is slowing you down. So that's why we at Grandpa's Barbecue salute you. The rich, original flavor of barbecue the way it was meant to be. But you should also know that it works great in a crock pot, too. Shh, you didn't hear that from us. Grandpa's Barbecue, available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Yeah. Is this the meters?
This is the meters.
Yeah. There we go.
I was going to see if you knew who they were.
Oh, yeah.
And you know the name of this tune?
Yeah, no, maybe. It's
Sissy Strut.
Oh, that's right. Sissy Strut. I do know that. Yeah.
You probably couldn't get away with it. Let's leave well enough alone. 844-967-2789. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesdays. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams, and we're talking about right now the shortage of educators. And let's go to the phone line and Mary from Tulsa. Hey, good morning to you, Mary. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. I want to take a step back. You were addressing the state legislature, and I'd like to put in a good word for Margaret Arney, who's going to be running for the state assembly. You know, she's got a good history for community service, and she's going to be holding a listening session on February 29th at the North Avenue Market, and this is on elder care excellence. We couldn't have a better representative in the state assembly. And her husband, Mike Arney, he's a strong proponent of climate change. He's the head of the West Chapter for Citizens Climate Lobby. So, Margaret Arney, let's back this wonderful, wonderful lady.
Thank you very much, Mary. Really appreciate it. Let's do this. Let's remind people today is a primary day. And I got to tell you, man, I've lost track.
Well, you know, you tell me that, and I realize how little coverage there's been, how little lead up there is to this. You know, it's like,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's primary day, which means, you know, and this is the beginning of a 2024 election year. That is as important as almost anyone that we've had in a long time. But these are primaries, which means there are people who are running to get into.
Right. These are the selection of the candidates. Yeah, this is an important day for many people and for who it is that'll be on the ticket.
And so I would suggest that you look and find out if in your area you have, for those of you who are cognizant and vote in every election like I do, and you know, who, if in your area there is someone running. But anyway, Sandy, let's get back to what is and continues to be an ongoing issue with the lack of available educators, which at some point in time is going to really impact this nation very hard. Let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines and Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. Your thoughts?
My daughter's a teacher. My wife is a retired teacher. We got two principals and 12 of my cousins and nephews are teachers. So I know pretty much what's going on. One of the complaints that they all have, including my daughter, is the lack of respect that these kids give to teachers and stuff like that. When I was in school back in the 60s, if I smarted off to my teacher, I was taken outside in the hall, thrown against the lockers with a you know.
You're not advocating that. You're clearly not advocating. Okay.
No, I'm not. But I had a lot of respect for my teachers. I did not backsass them like nowadays. Kids are like, you touch me, I'm going to sue. You do this. Then the parents come in, and then they start yelling at the teachers, too. You know, you're picking on my kid or something like that. It's hard. My daughter comes home at night when she was living at home before she got married. She come home crying, you know. It was very tough. And so, yeah, the teachers, she does put a lot of time in. There's times I had to put her to bed at night. You know, she's an adult, and she's sound asleep correcting papers.
So Gary,
until,
let me.
You know, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Let me say this then quickly. Yeah, that is certainly occurs. But if that's not bad enough, then they get lambasted in the political arena for being, you know, the reason that children aren't being educated and part-time workers. Sandy?
No, I'm right with you, Gary. I've watched this myself, and the transition of the way teachers are respected and the way schools are respected, you know, parents, you know, currently run into school and attack the teacher. In my day, the teachers would get support from the parents. You know, if Johnny acts out, please put him in his place. And there was just a different framework. But I think part of that has to do with the reason why we aren't paying teachers what they need to get paid, to have enough teachers and to have the teachers be in situated in a capacity where they can be happy with their work and satisfied with their overall life. And that is that there's just sort of a lack of respect for institutions, and in particular now the institution of public instruction and teaching.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as somebody who spent 12 years in the public school system recently, yeah, there are students who and parents who disrespect educators, but I think we have a society that also disrespects it.
Yeah, that's my point.
The profession.
Yeah, I think society has become sort of anti-institutional and lacks respect for all sorts of institutions. But the one that is hurting the most because of it, I think, is education. And education is the future of our folks. Gary, I can empathize with your daughter and with the rest of the members of your family who are in public instruction or in instruction, whether it's public or not.
Gary, quickly.
Yeah, I was going to say, Sandy and Earl, that my daughter, she is now teaching at a Christian private school, and she, you know, she enjoyed teaching. She taught at Sussex Hamilton. She taught out at West Bend, Germantown, and you know, she had good experience. I'm not telling you that it was every day was like that, but I do agree that they do need to be paid more. So, and as my daughter is a teacher at a Christian school, she gets paid way less than the normal being at a public, but she's much happier doing, you know, being at a Christian school, making less money.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. It's Tuesday. I mean, Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We had a lot to talk about. Up next, news, weather, and sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Critics of Wisconsin's new legislative boundaries say they have their own problems. Republican Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green tells Civic Media's Phil Nee that one new Senate district stretches from Richland Center to Madison.
You think about the issues in the city of Madison versus city of Richland Center. I mean, it's just two different worlds.
Markline says he doesn't expect Republicans to sue to delay the new maps. The new maps will mean a lot of changes and a lot of tough decisions for some state lawmakers. WisPolitics reports 21 state lawmakers are now drawn into the same districts, including 6 in the Senate and 11 in the Assembly. Some lawmakers say they plan to move in order to try to stay in office. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers was in Superior on Monday to speak about the new legislative district maps he signed into law. Experts say the new maps will make the state's elections much more competitive, and candidates will be forced to be more responsive to their voters with thinner margins. In the Superior area, the changes will affect State Senator Romaine Quinn and Representatives Chauns Green and Angie Sapik. Governor Evers hopes the new maps will accurately reflect how closely divided Wisconsin is. The 22nd annual Duluth Polar Plunge was held on Saturday. According to a Northern News Now report, locals took to the water at Park Point in freezing temperatures to help raise money for the Special Olympics. Despite some complaints about the wind making the cold air nearly unbearable after taking the plunge, most were happy to risk the frozen tundra for a good cause. Organizers estimate this year's Polar Plunge raised over $135,000. The plunge has raised over $2.7 million over 22 years. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
What's on your to-do list? Check your mail? Get groceries? How about getting your annual vaccines? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. Because we've got you. With local vaccine events and access to transportation, protecting yourself and your loved ones is not a chore anymore.
You've got this.
A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging. Funded by the U.S. Administration for Community Living through a grant to U.S. Aging. Learn more at yougotthis.usaging.org.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Pop and R&B star Usher revealed last week that he beat out Justin Timberlake in a bidding war to sign Justin Bieber in 2008. The New York Post reports that Usher says he knew Bieber was going to be a big star. Timberlake later revealed that he was actually relieved it didn't work out because he thought Justin Bieber was Miley Cyrus. Seriously, they could be twins. HBO host John Oliver made Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas an offer he will probably refuse. The Huffington Post reports that the host of Last Week Tonight offered Thomas $1 million a year and a $2.5 million luxury coach if he leaves the Supreme Court. The justice has a reputation of accepting lavish gifts from wealthy donors without reporting them. Oliver says Thomas has 30 days to accept his offer. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sunny and a little warmer today. We'll get to 46 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A little more fog possible overnight tonight. Our low 27 tomorrow. A little patchy fog in the morning, then mostly sunny 47 on Thursday. Sunshine with a high of 46. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
Baby.
back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, Governor Evers signed into law the new maps. And I've been listening to Republicans, Sandy.
I know they're crying crocodile tears.
They're gnashing of teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, this is not right. So what? It's not fair. What they are doing is they're using, you know, they're taking away the opportunities for Sandy. Your thought?
Well, I mean, it's like a confession of what was happening before. The lines have been redrawn. These are redrawn by Evers. They were actually passed by the legislature, okay?
So yes.
And the reason they said they passed them, the Republican legislature, was they said we had the gun held to our head because if we didn't do this, maybe the court would do something even worse to us. But what they're really confessing is that what they had done was to create a huge bias in their favor in the districting that they had done over the past 10 years. And now they were going to be redistricted in a way that was going to create actual contests in a whole bunch of districts. And, you know, sauce for the goose.
You know, Sandy, I was hearing, well, now Republicans are going to have to run against other Republicans, and it's just not fair.
Well, whenever you redistrict, you have people running, you know, people who no longer reside in the district they used to reside in who have to run, or they have two people residing in the same district, or that's going to happen in any redistricting unless the people doing the redistricting are strictly interested in protecting incumbency, which isn't really necessarily something that ought to be taken into consideration when you draw the lines.
Well, you know, Governor Evers has, you know, there are Democrats, only two Democrats voted yes. They wanted the Supreme Court to make this decision. And Governor Evers, as I said to the Milwaukee Democrats on last night, Governor Evers, whether you love him or hate him, is a man of conviction. And so he made a promise, and he stuck to that.
Well, yeah, I mean, he drew lines that he thought was a fair effort, and, you know, less biased.
He's not a real partisan guy.
Not gerrymandered to the max. And, you know, obviously the Republican maps were probably gerrymandered to the max. I mean, that's what every national expert said when they looked at the maps of Wisconsin, that this is the outlier. This is the most gerrymandered experience in the country. And so, you know, I suppose the Republicans were worried that sauce for the goose could be sauce for the gander if it got to the Supreme Court. Maybe it could even be worse than this fair map that had been drawn up by Evers.
You know, Governor Evers said Wisconsin is not a blue state, is not a red state, it's a purple state. And he stood by that. And I'll tell you, there are Democrats who don't like the fact that he did that. And so, you know, they're clearly going to accept it because it is a new beginning, long overdue, but it doesn't give the Democrats what they thought they'd get, which is what they would believe would be justice if things were balanced the other way for all these years.
If justice is that you go, if the pendulum has to swing as far the other direction, you know, this is all proof to me that what we need is a nonpartisan process for the map drawing, and that it needs to be a fair map drawn without a partisan advantage built into it, which is unfortunately what you get in a legislature, which has to, when you have a legislature that has to pass it, and you've got obviously one party with a partisan majority, what's going to happen?
So now there's you know, a hue and cry. We've got to get rid of Robin Voss. And so I'm hearing it sniveling from Republicans that this new map may make it possible and easier for Robin Voss to be, you know, removed. But the people who are looking to remove him aren't Democrats. I mean, help me understand that, Sandy.
Well, we've watched it at the the national level. Being a speaker is a fraught with risk job that doesn't last long. And Voss, you know, to the extent that a speaker does something that can be viewed as bipartisan, seems to be the death sentence.
Yeah, let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. Your thoughts?
Well, Robin Voss made some comment on the news last night about how now that the maps are been redrawn, the liberals will stop spending all these $1 million on lawsuits. Well, what about all the millions of dollars the conservatives have spent on that lawsuit trying to get the, I can't think of the judge's name, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
Janet Protasiewicz. Yeah.
No. The one they were trying to save, I can't think of his name off the top. I just lost his name. But anyway, that they spent millions of dollars trying to save him and that whole lawsuit that they still actually are involved in. So where is he to, you know, say that the liberals and Democrats are spending all these millions of dollars on the fair maps? I don't have a problem spending money on fair maps if, you know, we're going to actually get fair maps.
No. You know, what is that? The Book of Hoyle? That's what she just.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, I think the problem is that the Republicans, particularly, but I think probably both sides, tend to accuse the other side of what it is they're doing themselves, and so and the public seems to swallow it, so they continue to do it. But Cindy, you're right. I mean, you know, the notion that the Republicans would have the gall to suggest that the other side is spending too much money on lawsuits when the Republicans have spent lots and lots of money. They spent lots of money, first of all, on getting the maps drawn up by a Milwaukee law firm and a national law firm. They spent a lot of money just to try and buy legal counsel that would get them the very one-sided maps. And then they've spent quite a bit of money elsewise.
Hey, Cindy, thank you very much for the call. So, Cindy, for those in the audience who may not understand just how important this decision is right before a very important 2024 presidential election, it is really a decision that it may impact who the president of the United States is.
Yeah, and it doesn't impact it directly, but right. Indirectly, by causing there to be more contests that are actually contested, you have the probability of turning out more people to vote. I mean, one of the problems with gerrymandered districts in which districts are terribly safe and there's a big margin of probable victory, the party that's going to lose that election, the people who would otherwise vote that way, have very little incentive to go to the polls and vote because they figure, what the heck, it's not going to help. And so the more people you get to the polls, the more likely it is that you'll have a potentially different outcome in the presidential election.
So let me ask you, because for all the world, it looks like the Republican juggernaut that has been on the national and state levels for the last, I don't know how many years, things just seem to be coming apart at the seams. And I don't know, Sandy, if they really, some of them understand, but there are others who continue to push as if it's the way it was 10 years ago.
Well, I think to some extent it comes from overplaying a hand. You know, they had a very successful strategy for focusing on state houses. I think Karl Rove was at the heart of that one. And the state house strategy affected the Supreme Courts of many states, as well as the legislative makeup of many states. But it was done to the point where once that advantage was achieved, they overplayed the hand, I think, with this whole gerrymandering strategy across the country. And when that turns around, as well as, I think, another problem, which is if what you're seeking is simply to be in power, but you don't have a program to propose to the people that solves their problems, ultimately, the people will get frustrated with you because you're the government, okay? And so, you know, the people who are viewed as being the establishment government will suffer the consequence of not delivering sound policy to the people that are being governed. And I think that's what's happening. And I think it's happened on both sides of the aisle at various times because of the frustration of the electorate. Donald Trump represented almost a third party kind of a frustration being exercised. And I think people have now become maybe more inured to the notion that Donald Trump isn't going to deliver the solution either.
You know, Sandy, if you just look at what has happened, you know, Democrats have kind of won more elections over the last 8 years, 10 years, than Republicans. But because of the gerrymandered districts, they have not been able to take advantage of those wins. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you have to go back in time. Sam Rayburn was the Speaker of the House for many, many years consecutively. He was a Democrat, and the Democrats controlled Congress for a very long time in the middle of the last century, up through the Reagan time, really. And so, you know, that was a long period of sort of a single party control with an occasional Republican president, but otherwise the Democratic Party controlled. The pendulum swung. The Senate has been more frequently Republican than Democrat for some while now. And the House, it's been unusual for the House to become Republican, but it has this century for a number of times. We have Speaker Ryan. We have the Speaker Ryan period, the Boehner period. So, you know, I think the pendulum will swing.
McConnell's period?
Well, McConnell for the Senate, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Senate, right.
Yeah.
You said you think the pendulum is pretty clear. It's getting ready to swing.
Well, part of that swinging is the frustration of the electorate when things don't get better. And we've got, like I've said, we have this problem with the middle class of America who is suffering. And they're not suffering because of the inflation. That's just the straw that's breaking the camel back, but it's not the problem. The problem for the middle class is their budget, and the problem is their income, much like the teachers.
You know, Sandy, and I have to tell you, to see Robin Voss and the Republicans have to kind of give up, you know, their power after watching them with Scott Walker and all of that for a decade, I'm celebrating.
Well, let's put it this way. You got to play the game and you got to win the game. So let's wait for the elections to celebrate. But it does look like, if you just look at the demographics of the districts as redrawn, that many more of them will be actually contested districts with the potential for a change in party.
So let me ask you, because the state of Wisconsin is if not the most critical of the other states, we're one of the most critical. And this change in itself represents a watershed moment.
Well, like I said, senatorial elections and presidential elections aren't affected by local districting because it's just a head count in the whole state. But if turnout is affected, then you can have an impact on the head count in the entire state. And it does have that potential. And Wisconsin, it's interesting. Wisconsin is an important state, not because it has a lot of electors. It's important because there are only about 8 or 9 states that are purple. You know, the rest of them are either predictably blue or predictably red. And then we've got a number of purple states. Wisconsin's one of those.
All right. 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Say it with me, the Boxing Six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations filled with mean-spirited rhetoric? It's time to listen and engage. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfine, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on Lake Air, 107.5 FM WLAK.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
At 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines. And Jack from Racine, good morning to you, Jack. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. You know, it's been more than a decade, Earl. It's been 13 years since Wisconsin has had unconstitutional gerrymandering voting maps. And as you stated correctly, was put in by the Walker first administration and the Republican majorities in both legislatures. So I think it's important that we certainly not minimize any of this, you know, because Sandy mentioned playing by the game, rules of the game or the game. The game, the rules of the game are that we have a democracy and that voting is a right and equal right, equal votes should count as equally as possible. And we've had exactly the opposite for the last 13 years. So the districts were drawn so that Republicans had a great advantage in the numbers of legislators. An example of that is the Wongard district in Racine County. There's a kind of a peninsula called the Wongard Peninsula that was drawn into the city of Racine just where Mr. Wongard lives. And then the rest of the county, which is Republican, was his. And so he's kept his seat for this number of years, no matter he's, no wonder he's squealing right now because he doesn't like the Republican bill. So, at any rate, I really think people need to realize this is a really a momentous occasion. You know, we really have not had democracy from the standpoint of voter rights in Wisconsin for the last 13 years. And we're going to have them now, thanks to Tony Evers and a lot of people who worked hard.
Jack, hang on a second. Sandy wants to respond.
Bravo. I you're right. I think that the gerrymandering is such an invidious problem, and it creates so many collateral problems, one of them being voter frustration, voter malaise. You know, it's hard to turn out the vote when everyone knows their vote isn't going to matter in the local contests. And it was done so cynically and so publicly, it surprised me that the American public, even those perpetrating it, could do it in good conscience.
Well, they did it in broad daylight.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it was notorious. Right. You know, up until then, all of the talk that led to gerrymandering was done in the dark of night secretly and was denied by those who participated. But now it was just like, this is it. This is what we're doing.
Hey, Jack, well said, man. Thank you very much for the call. Tom from L.A.
Yeah. Good morning. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. It means government. That's what democracy means, and not the corporations. Congratulations to Wisconsin on the maps, and actually being able to restore democracy back to Wisconsin. The only thing is, we need to get all money out of politics. We need to get all lobbyists out of politics, because this is where the real problem is coming in. And honestly, I'd like to just comment on people that call in and, you know, have relatives and things that work for the public schools, that the public school is government. We, the people, pay for our public school teachers. So if there's a problem, the problem has been that the public school system has been denigrated and has been told it's crap and has been told all of these negative things about public schools that, and government in general, that because of that, you do have people that have a lack of respect for the institutions that we were talking about. So I just wanted to riff on that. And Sandy, also, you said something a couple weeks ago, I can't remember what it was, but it had to do with, you were reading a quote from someone. It was a beautiful quote from some person that wrote a book years ago, or it was some leader, and it was just perfect because it just told exactly who Trump was, and it said exactly who Vladimir Putin is, hey, especially with the killing of Navalny. Please, if you can repeat that or let us know the source on it, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. Tom, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, I want to...
The source of it was Alexander Hamilton, and I'll get the quote another time, but it was Alexander Hamilton being totally prescient about what it would be like to have a despot as a leader.
So Sandy, as Jack from Racine lauded, it is, you know, whether or not it's going to have a major impact or not, I think people who have had to deal with this, as he stated, for 13 years, it's like coming up for a breath of fresh air. To see Robin Voss and the Republicans, Sandy, say yes to something that we know they really don't support, to see them finally agree, it's as if they were forced into agreeing. That's what I'm loving.
Well,
because it's been their way or the highway for the last 13 years.
Well, their gnashing of the teeth is... If, when you look at it, it's exactly, I mean, all they're saying is now we're in the, well, now we feel more like the Democrats have felt for 13 years. I mean, they're decrying the very thing that they perpetrated. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. To me, it's, I'm just, you know, really excited about it. And we'll see where it goes. We know that we won't see Robin Voss and the Republicans standing up before the state and directing and controlling what happens in the state of Wisconsin anymore. And that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah.
But 844-967-2789, you know, we're going to talk a little bit on the other side, Sandy, about whether or not a governor of a state can call a militia into existence. What is the power of a governor? And where does the federal government and the state government, you know, part ways? 844-967-2789, news, weather, and sports.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Mino and the Mayor.
John actually asked me if women had a prostate earlier today.
He did.
You did not.
No, get this, because we're in here and we're talking about...
It was a sweet question.
Yeah.
No, I thought he asked.
What?
He goes,
do you guys get prostate cancer? And she's like, oh, no, John, women don't have prostates.
A lot of guys don't know that.
Do they have ED?
Erectile dysfunction?
Yeah, do they have that, John?
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Ukrainian officials continue pushing for increased aid and new supplies of ammunition. Russia